This is the Student Athlete Succeed podcast show, presented by Valerian Sports Performance Group. I'm your host, Coach Cortez. And this is the place where we encourage student athletes to take what you got and make it better. This podcast show is the offspring of Valerian Sports Development Group's Success Enhancement Program, which is called Student Athletes Succeed. One of our core program commitments is driving home the fact that every student athlete will reach a pivotal moment in life when they play their final play. That's why we focus on aiding student athletes in preparing for this transition, guiding them from the role of an everyday athlete to that of an everyday human being pursuing new forms of fulfillment. Our student athlete life guidance coaches actively support student athletes in crafting their life plans and navigating the paths that lead towards lifelong success. Student athletes are well positioned for a multitude of opportunities, and Valerian SDG aims to provide guidance regarding how to maximize opportunities rather than squander opportunities. For episode one of the Student Athletes Succeed podcast show, we're going to talk about who I am, what I'm about, and why it's going to be important for you to tap into this podcast show on a regular basis. The genesis of my story starts in my hometown, Chicago, 104th in Princeton, 70th in Lowe, 62nd in Indiana, 63rd in May, right off Racine. See, I'm really from Chicago. I attended the original Inglewood High School for 4 years and graduated. Walked through the valley of the shadow of death every single day in the hoods of Chicago. And yet I'm still here. I am undefeated. Because when life knocked me down, I did not stay down. I rose to the occasion and kept moving forward. I'm Coach Cortez, born Cortez that Eagle Smith. Why was a black kid from the south side of Chicago given the first name of Cortez? Heck, I don't know. Yeah, here I am. What is that ego? It's simply Derek with an O. It derives from the guy that got my mama pregnant, which paved the way for me to be here today. So trust and believe, that was no small feat and will always be appreciated, irrespective of the fact that I only seen Buddy 2 times in my life, to this day. And here I am, at the age of 40. Even though to a certain extent I'm named after him, being reminded of him every day of my life, I have no tangible connection to him whatsoever. And I'm partly the reason for that. You might ask,
how so, Coach Cortez?
Because when he made the effort to come see me for the first time, when I was 8 years old, he picked me up in some kind of car, from what I can remember, drove me around the corner, literally the next block over to my Auntie Whitney crib, whose crib I've been over many, many times before without him. And we sat on her couch as the adults engaged in meaningless conversation. He then took me right back around the corner, dropped me off at my grandma's crib. Not his mama, but my mama's mama. And told me he'll be back the next day to pick me up. I was a quiet child, so all I said was, okay. He was a man of his word. He indeed came back to see me that very next day. I was upstairs in my room. My grandma was downstairs. And she yelled,
Cortez, your daddy outside.
And I don't know why I did what I did, but I proceeded to go to the upstairs window and little old quiet old me yelled out the window,
I'm not going with you and I don't ever want to see you again.
Until this day, he's honored that declaration that I made at the age of 8. And I don't have a typical story because my mama never spoke a word about him, good or bad. She only made sure to tell me and I think I was 5 years old or something like that, that I had a biological dad, and his name was Derek. And that the man that came into my life when I was 2 years old, named Greg, was officially my stepdad and not my biological dad. Yet for me, I never referred to Greg as stepdad because he was all that I ever knew. And more often than not, love doesn't bother with technicalities. You feel me? So whenever you hear me saying the word dad, I'm referring to Greg, not Derek. Anyhow, sports was a big part of my upbringing. I'm a South Side of Chicago guy, but I'm a Cubs fan, and I've always been a Cubs fan. I like the White Sox, Frank Thomas, Robin Ventura, Ozzie Guillen were some of my favorite players on the Sox back in the day when I was coming up. Yeah, when it comes down to it, I'm rocking with the Cubs. Mark Grace, Ryan Sandberg, Sean Dustin. And I remember watching my first Cubs game when I was 5 years old, sitting there with my granddad, who I'm so much alike in so many ways. Bears fan for life. That might change though, depending on how they treat my guy, Justin Fields. Similar to how I haven't watched the Bulls game since they traded my guy D. Rose. But when it comes to the Bears, I remember the good times. Watching Neil Anderson and Jim Harbaugh, because I was born in 83. Didn't start watching the Bears till I was 6 years old. So I'm talking about 1989. So I had Miss Sweetness, Walter Payton, because he retired in 87. And I actually started off as a New York Giants and San Francisco 49ers fan. My favorite players were LT, Lawrence Taylor, and Jerry Rice. And yeah, everybody know Mike the GOAT, but my favorite basketball player was Scottie Pippen. You see, sports was the great mental and visual outlet for a shorty like me. Not only did it give me something to have fun experiencing in the moment, but it also gave me hope for a better future. A hope that I could connect with because it was what I could see. Yeah, I was always asked the typical question,
"What do you want to be when you grow up?"
And yeah, I gave the typical answers because yet again, I was only exposed to a limited amount of options. Either be a police officer, a fireman, a doctor, a lawyer, or a teacher. So at first I was like,
I want to be a doctor.
Because number one, even at an early age, I knew that I enjoyed helping people. And number two, whenever moms took me to the doctor, I remember when we was waiting and waiting and waiting on the doctor to come in, I was happy because I took that opportunity to explore everything in that room. And that was fun to me. That connected with my curious mind. I would soon pivot to wanting to become a lawyer because I saw that as a way that I would be able to have enough power to fight for what was right for my people, for Black people. But the next pivot for me occurred when I began to get more into reading. My grandparents had this big old book about Black Chicago. And I'm turning the pages and I'm reading this book. I'm about 8 years old at the time. Now, mind you, it was just a few years earlier, I went into kindergarten, not knowing how to read, not knowing my numbers, and not even knowing my colors. Feeling isolated and shook because everyone else in the classroom seemed to know it already. And if it wasn't for Jeffrey Gooden, I remember it like it was yesterday. Something inspired him to come and sit next to me and say,
I'll help you.
And he took the time to teach me my colors. And I didn't feel bad anymore. And because of that, me and Jeffrey became good friends on the regular. going up to Princeton Park to hoop all throughout childhood. That single act of kindness positively impacted the trajectory of my life from that moment forward. So back to the point. I was 8 years old reading this book about Black Chicago, and I came across this distinguished looking gentleman. And in the caption underneath his picture, it said, Harold Washington, first Black mayor of Chicago. And I was shocked. That's possible? A Black man was the mayor of Chicago? You see, it's 1991 at the time that I'm reading this. I'm in the third grade. And my only exposure to politics at the time was the sitting mayor, Mayor Richard M. Daley, a white guy who came from a political lineage, whereas his father, Richard J. Daley, was the mayor of Chicago for about 20 years during the mob's heyday in Chicago across the 50s, 60s, and 1970s. And the way that the mayor was revered in Chicago was a mayor that had a lot of power, influence, and sway regarding how the city was ran. And in my young mind, I was like, if I become the mayor of Chicago, I can change my community for the better. Change the educational system. Provide intentional access to resources and programs that will make my community a better place to live. To save my people from the many poisons of the world. And I'm really thinking on that level because in my hood, the dope boys and the gangbangers ran the block. And you were either affiliated, the opposition, a customer, or a possible victim. And I didn't like an option, even at a young age. And to my knowledge, we didn't have any doctors, lawyers, you know, people like that, what have you, staying in my hood. If we did, they ain't come outside. They ain't show their face. They ain't talk to us. So for those of us in the hood, they didn't really exist, except for on TV and the movies or something like that. And although my thought process was different, I could always understand and relate to the fact that many of my peers were influenced by what they saw on the regular. The D-boys and the gangbangers get most of the respect, most of the money, and most of the females. And of course, if you made it to that league, you're getting the same things. And I'm talking about, you know, NBA, NFL. You know, those are the two leagues that us as Shardies we want to aspire for, either being a hooper or a football player. So naturally, my peers saw that as the model of success, which they in turn sought to emulate. But for me, remember, I'm 8 years old reading about Harold Washington. So I'm like, I'm going to be the mayor of Chicago so that I can save my hoods and empower my people. You see, I saw and experienced both sides of it. Pops was a D-boy. In the basement of the crib, it was pounds of weed on the table, guns locked and loaded. But on the flip side, Pops got locked up, came back out, and became the customer instead of the hood entrepreneur. And that messed my family up. Having to move from town to town, or state to state in the middle of the night to avoid the D-boys either running up in the crib or shooting up the crib because Pops done ran up a drug bill. Living in homeless shelters. Mom, Pops, me, and my brother all in one room at the shelter with a curfew something like 7 p.m. or else we got to sleep on the streets. Having to be the first stop in the morning and the last stop in the afternoon so the other kids on the school bus don't make fun of me and Big Bro. Not having food to eat some nights because chasing that crack high to deal with his issues was more important to Pops than providing for his family. I say all that to say, if it wasn't for the game of football, I would have potentially took a similar path. doing negative things to express and deal with the amount of anger and frustration that I had built up inside of me due to the ills of living in a family that was drastically impacted by both poverty and drug abuse. Football literally saved my life because it helped me to redirect my mind from my current situation and instead to be able to focus on my future situation, to believe in a little bit of hope for a better life. The value of the discipline of sports, the teamwork and leadership principles that sports teaches you, along with the relationships that are developed, are immeasurable. Although I always had good grades, I found school to be disinteresting. And being on the football, wrestling, baseball, tennis, and track teams kept me from dropping out of school. I truly believe in utilizing the power and influence of sports to develop and impact the lives of student athletes. That's the mission that I'm on. And if you know me, you know that to be true. And yeah, some people love how I rock. Some people can't stand how I rock. That's just part of existing in this world. It's going to be like that. But nobody can say that Coach Cortez does not love them kids. That Coach Cortez does not love his community. Because everyone that has either come in direct contact with me or observed me from afar without me even consciously knowing, everybody, the ones that dislike me and the ones that like me, everybody knows where my heart is. My heart is with my community, and I stand on that. And with this podcast show platform, we will utilize it to showcase a more holistic model of success for the youth from all walks of life, across the spectrum of ethnicities, regardless of how many parents are in their household, no matter the socioeconomic status that they are tied to due to their family ties. Student Athletes Succeed is a true program, a true cause, with a big vision and a practical plan of action. With this podcast show platform, we will break down the cautionary tales of those who were gifted with high-level talent yet fell by the wayside due to poor choices and poor decision-making. We will highlight excellence profiles of those who have utilized sports to positively impact and empower their lives. We will review success concepts such as the 15 building blocks of success, along with the 15 self-development success keys. We'll discuss the challenges and obstacles that our youth have to face on a daily basis as they navigate their way through life. This is a podcast show for student athletes from the heart of a former highly successful and highly decorated student athlete. Because the truth be told, it's a lot of people in the lives of these young student athletes who truly don't have their best interest in mind. And oftentimes, that's not realized until it's too late. And the damage is already done. And they done hit that brick wall, turning around looking for help, only to see all the jock riders are gone, on to the next one. So I want to be sure that we talk about the things that the jock riders are too afraid to talk about, for fear of offending the superstar student athlete, being kicked out of the inner circle, for being honest. I want to see all y'all succeed and go forth to experience the world in a positive light, spreading love rather than spreading hate and negativity. I don't want to see y'all experience so much success as a student athlete, then become depressed once playing that sport is no longer your everyday life. Or only falsely believing that the only thing that can make you valuable to your family or your community is to excel in athletics. Nah, we're going to change that narrative. We're going to change that mindset, providing that extra layer of insight and storytelling to support movements like More Than an Athlete. But that's all I got for y'all on today's episode. And I'm going to close out by sharing with you some information about the not-for-profit business that we support. Valerian Sports Development Group is a not-for-profit community development business that's committed to developing and impacting the lives of student athletes ages 9 through 25 as they navigate through their three core life stages. Core life stage number 1, ages 9 through 13. Core life stage number 2, ages 14 through 19. Core life stage number 3, ages 20 through 25. Valerian SDG has 5 fundamental programs. Our Success Enhancement Program, Student Athletes Succeed. Our Leadership Development Program, Student Athletes Lead. Our Educational Excellence Program, Student Athletes Excel. Our Business, Career, and Workforce Development Program, Student Athletes Work. Our Community Service Program, Student Athletes Serve. Sports is the hook, but it's more than sports. It's bigger than sports. We utilize sports as a tool for constructing and revitalizing our communities. We utilize the power of sports to influence and transform our people. And we need y'all help. We need business owners to join with us with the Student Athletes Work Program, so that we can partner you all with our youth so they can see that there is more to life than what they may be limited to seeing on a daily basis, which contributes to their limited vision for life. Because a lot of these kids are hurting. A lot of these kids are suffering. A lot of these kids are in pain. And it's up to us to do something about that. Join our giving circle. Give back to our youth. Help us be better positioned to help our youth. We invite both individuals and companies to join forces with us to uplift, support, and inspire the youth of our communities through the programs that the Valerian Sports Development Group is advancing. Financial contributions can be made either annually, quarterly, or monthly. Visit the Giving Circle page on our website, www.valeriansdg.org, www.valeriansdg.org. Follow us and inbox us on IG at ValerianSDG. If you represent a business or institution that is interested in supporting and or collaborating with us, either email info@valeriansdg.org or text/call 678-990-8494. Again, that's 678-990-8494. And on that note, that concludes episode 1 of the Student Athletes Succeed podcast show. And to all my student athletes out there, remember to take what you got and make it better. Shout out to Coach Cruz, who gave me that slogan. I love you, Coach. Also, salute to my guy, Pluto, Trapsonic Productions, for blessing us with the background track for this podcast show. Amazing, amazing producer. I appreciate you, bro. And a big ow to all my brown and gold frat brothers out there. Iota Phi Theta Fraternity Incorporated. Y'all already know what it is. It takes a man building a tradition, not resting upon one. Y'all be sure to tune in next week for episode 2 of the Student Athletes Succeed podcast show. This is your host, Coach Cortez. Y'all stay up.